Welcome, guys, to All Things MMA. Sitting here with Chris. It's Thursday night. Looking forward to the weekend. We, as you can see, we've advanced it to we've got video, which is kind of one better. And we have got a special guest coming on later on, none other than Chris Duncan from Bellator, which we're really excited to go to talk to him. So, and a really exciting card to talk about this weekend. Probably one of the best of the year, eh, Chris?
Definitely, mate. Looking forward to it. It's been a long week. I think this might be the card that we stay up for. So, top to bottom, I think this is going to be a brilliant card. Brilliant fights. Looking forward to talking to Chris later on, getting a wee bit of insight into a life of an MMA fighter.
You're talking about staying up for it. Are we not meant to be doing this 12 or 18 mile run on Saturday?
No, no, you and Stuart are doing an 18-mile run, mate. Me and Marsh will be in a support vehicle, throwing water at you while drinking Jack Daniels and Coke.
What do you think of the tash? It's going strong. I put some beard oil in it. I went full... I've had an array of compliments and insults on it. But you can just sit on the fence. You're watching what you say.
The things that I would say about that tash would get us monetized.
I'll just share my screen and run through the card for this weekend.
Let's do it. Here we go.
UFC. Got to spell it first, right? If you call me, I never thought this fight would actually come. It felt like it took so long in the making, but I'm pretty happy it's here.
Even the rematch between them, though, I thought was a bit of a shit show. I thought that Stipe automatically deserved a rematch, just like what Max Holloway did. Nobody was kind of passing up Max, but I think the UFC don't like Stipe, to be honest with you.
No, they don't. Although there's a lot to get behind because he's a firefighter, he's like an all-American. I don't know why I don't like him. He's maybe got a bit of an attitude. So, we'll just start from the bottom. So, John Dodson versus Mirab. You've mastered this, Chris. You've mastered it.
I thought you wanted to start off with Magomed Ankalaev, no?
Oh, yeah. We could talk about the Magomed Ankalaev fight. You've been practicing that one instead. That's why you wanted to roll off the tongue, eh? It's actually not showing up on the website, so I think it actually might be taken off the card.
I've not been on social media all day.
So I don't think that's happening. So your Magomed Ankalaev is going to have to save for a rare day.
Mate, I've done so much research about that one fighter. I was told it wasn't a case. It's even saying Magomed Ankalaev. I just broke it down and I wrote it how I'd say it so I wouldn't make a mistake. So that's devastating.
So you got Mirab, the machine, Devashvili. Obviously, this is a guy for Serra Longo. I think he's heading for greatness, to be honest, man. The guy is a cardio machine. Versus John Dodson. I know you, not a big fan of John Dodson.
Just something about him, like the way that he does that pose, just everything. I've not got much good things to say about John Dodson, to be honest with you.
He seemed like a bit of a prick at the weigh-ins as well. Like he wasn't wanting to wear a mask, and he was being a bit of a wido.
I think he's just got a shitty attitude for a bantamweight as well. Like bantamweights. Unless you're one of the top bantamweights, nobody really gives a fuck about you, so why does he have this attitude? Where he's like, my shit, does they think? It's like, mate, nobody cares. Nobody would care if you didn't retire tomorrow.
Mm. But it's a big test for Mirab, though, because John Dodson, you used to be a top 10 guy. I think he's ranked like 12th now.
He won the Ultimate Fighter 14 KO of the season. He's really good.
He's powerful for his size. He's really powerful.
All his losses have actually only come by decision. He's never been knocked out or anything either, which is quite interesting. No. 32 fights as well, 32 total. So
I'm surprised he took the fight, to be honest. Not many people are wanting to fight Merab. He's a little machine. He's the dark horse of the division. Because all this is wrestle you, grind you. Like, who wants to fight that? Like, they would never match him up against Sean O'Malley because it would just be bad matchmaking for the UFC.
Yeah. Sean O'Malley's jiu-jitsu is supposed to be really, really good, though. So
yeah.
But then jiu-jitsu versus wrestler, we've kind of seen the way that kind of goes. The wrestler tends to come out on top with the scrambles and then ground and pound. So
who are you going to take in this fight?
Just due to the sheer reason, I'll always go against John Dodson. I would never want to bet money on him. Even if I won a bet with John Dodson, I would hate myself for winning it.
Merab's a big favourite anyway, so I think your money should be pretty safe.
Yeah. And I will be, guys, I state again, I will be placing my bets before I have a drink. Again.
So we've got JDS, who seems like he's been around forever, but he's looking in shape. He's looking in shape and he's got the Tash going, so I'm digging it.
And you copied the Tash game, mate?
Nah, he copied me. Because mine took about a year to go, so he's Brazilian. He probably grew it in like a week. Who's Junior Dos Santos fighting, Christopher? Pronunciation of the week?
I'm not even going to try, Corey. On you go.
You have to. This is the name of the game.
Hold on the
new,
because I've got it here.
Hold on the new, this is on fire.
Nah, I'm going to get up on that one.
Oh, you should just call him Biggie Boy.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to try it. Jarzinho Rosenstruck.
Ah, right, you nailed it. You're just fucking playing possum like Ion Cutelaba. Rosenstruck is a big favourite for this fight. I think it's because Junior Dos Santos has took quite a lot of damage in the last two fights. He's been knocked out by Ngannou. I said that really weird. Ngannou and Curtis Razor Blade. So I think they're thinking he's kind of heyday some, but I disagree.
I totally disagree, mate. I think my big bet for this week is actually going to be on Junior Dos Santos. I think if I'm putting big bet on anybody, like, it'll be Junior Dos Santos. And I think, he's an absolute machine. He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer already. But I think he's got to bully him. I think obviously Rosenstruck's had 100 million fights.
Kickboxing.
But he's not an MMA fighter yet. He's won. He beat Alistair Overeem last few seconds.
You've seen that, but he was getting his totties from as the by Overeem for five rounds. I felt sorry for him. I thought Overeem would have kept going, and he actually would have won that. But have you ever heard of the country of Suriname?
That's Suriname, a Suriname. Population of 500,000. Lessons. Sorry, I'm taking all your thunder. On you go.
You've been reading my notes or something. I think he's a bit of a legend there. I did read that like 70% of the country is under the poverty line. Over the poverty line. I don't know.
That doesn't make much sense. I'm pretty sure they say that about Scotland.
Under the poverty line. I got a bit confused there, but holy shit, Jairzinho was only 32, man. I hope I look a little bit better than him at 32. Junior Dos Santos is like 40. Do you look?
Yeah, he's looking at him. I think Junior Dos Santos is looking in the best shape of his career.
Yeah, he is good. He's been done for just before though. So, but I think it was a tainted supplement. He seems like a nice guy, so I'm gonna believe him. Nice guys
are now to take performance enhancing drugs.
They are,
does
but
it got a bad guy.
It got turned over, I'm sure, and it was found in some Brazilian creatine drink he was taking or some shit.
You mean some of that?
Fuck it, he was probably injecting test. Who am I kidding? So who are we gonna take? Who are we gonna take on this one?
My big favourite for this one is Junior Dos Santos. I think he's going to. Yeah. I think he's going to grapple. He's got to take him down. He's got to kind of try and bully him on the ground. It's a heavyweight fight. it's one of the ones where it can go either way. It's one punch is all it takes. But I think Junior Dos Santos is a vet, and I think he's going to be too much for Rozenstruik to handle.
They're both teammates as well. They're both fighting out of the American top team. I was sitting watching UFC Embedded. I didn't quite appreciate it. I didn't know GDS was a ATT guy. But you're right, they're both big punchers, man. I didn't think GDS was a knockout artist, and I went back and watched some of his stuff against Cain Velasquez, and he flattened him.
Is Junior Dos Santos has the heavyweight
Are you trying to read your own handwriting? That's illegible.
Like a chicken running across the page. No, nine straight wins is basically the longest win streak in the division's history.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice thing to have. But okay, both take GDS, so I think we're both on the same page with regards to the picks.
I think
put some money on Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Chito Vera. I think this is Sean O'Malley's biggest test. They've fed him guys who are subpar. I think they're trying to build him up, but this fight is a real test for him, man. Marlon Vera's good. He's been fighting in the UFC for ages. He's had 14 fights. His experience is good all round. Trained by Jason Perillo, who trains Michael Bisping. Don't know if you listen to that podcast.
No. Sugar Sean O'Malley is a superstar, and the thing that always worries me is it because people are swinging off their nuts right now? Is this going to be the thing that, you know, once they actually come up against someone that can obviously get the work done? I'm not saying that obviously his previous fights these guys couldn't. They weren't bums, but they weren't in their prime. I think Sean O'Malley's the real deal, man. I don't think this is one of these ones where the big fans have kind of pushed him where he shouldn't really be at that point. I feel like that happened to Darren Till. I feel like Darren Till got pushed and too fast. I think Sean O'Malley is also his own manager. Sean O'Malley is actually dealing with the UFC directly. He's saving, I think it's like 15% of his purse already. So he's also, for a young guy, relatively new to the sport as well, he's pretty switched on. I think the time that when he got injured and he had to did he get injured or was it a ban? Was it a ban for smoking weed or something? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think it was marijuana. Which is daft because it's legalized and it's seen as essential. So, like, it was one of the first things after COVID to still be allowed.
Yeah. Now, I think Sean O'Malley's the real deal. I think don't get me wrong, no way, shape, or form. I think this is a big fight for him. The thing that worries me with Sean O'Malley is it's his best friend, it's his coach. They hang around with each other all the time.
Yeah, Tim Welch. He hangs out from the podcast, the training,
the videos. Obviously, Sean O'Malley's got his own Twitch, all these things. But you just think, how does that work if Sean O'Malley's really no fancy in it one day? Is his coach got to be like, nah, we're going in here, we've got to push?
Mm-hmm.
Is that friendship affecting it at all? So far, not, but he's not really being tested to like he is this time.
I think Vera's going to come out, and I think, well, he won his last fight, that Song Yadong fight he won, clearly. Six in a row, if you're not including that. I think he's going to come out, I think he's going to kick the legs, I think he's going to throw the legs of O'Malley. Yeah. But it's just whether O'Malley can be elusive enough in his movement, which I think he probably can. He throws a lot. He throws it unorthodox. His timing's amazing. You know when he versed that Jose Quinones, he kicked him and he knew he was falling down, and he followed up with an uppercut. Yeah. The timing on it was just like so precise.
Yeah, he's definitely a precision puncher as well. He's, you know, I was watching an interview and he was talking about he doesn't aim for the head, he aims for the chin, things like that. And if you actually watch his face back, the guy is collecting them on the chin. You know. His uppercut, knockouts, his punches, he's straight down the pipe, he's catching these guys. And for someone so tall and skinny, you wouldn't think he has knockout power, but the boy uses what power he's got well, man.
That's what he says. He's like, yeah, he aims for the chin rather than the head. Cheeto punches the head. But I think Sean O'Malley will win this one, to be honest. But you never know. It could be an Edmund Shabazzian kind of fight where he's been built up and he's not for that upper echelon of competition.
I think I'm going to pick Sean O'Malley, but I'm not going to put money on that one. I think if I'm putting on an accumulator, I would leave Sean O'Malley. Yeah, it's just no tried and tested enough for my liking. I think if he wins this, off to the races with him. There's a lot of beef going on with him and Cody Garbrandt anyway. I think that's silly. It's like,
Cody Garbrandt's just been he's fighting for the title. How is he making 125, man? He looks lean at 135. Like,
he's I don't understand how these people lose weight. I struggle to lose weight. I'm trying to lose weight.
Andrew the vegan. I thought all vegans were lean. Aha, you've got it on.
Those that aren't watching but listening, I'm wearing a Huel top, which is a vegan supplement, but you wouldn't know if you'd seen the top. I just wanted to win.
Oh, yeah. For our podcast listeners, Chris is, who can't see the visuals, Chris has got his Huel, bigging up the vegan mafia. How do you know a vegan? Because they always talk about it.
I didn't. You want to bring it up. How do you know a vegan? Because everybody else will want to slag them off to you. That's how it works.
That was quite good. I like that. All right, we're gonna cut here. We'll jump back on and talk about the Daniel Cormier versus Stipe main event after we've had a chat to Chris, which I'm really looking forward to. So I'll chat to you in a bit.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Bang on.
Perfect.
Sorry, but I fucking totally forgot.
So good. So good. How are you?
Good, mate. How's things for yourself?
Not bad. If you're wondering why I've got this fucking stupid looking moustache, we're doing a marathon on the 25th of August in memory of my mate's dad who died last year. So, I've had a few insults. I won't say what.
It's for a good cause, man. Exactly. It's not like he's growing it for charity or something like that. We're running a marathon for the charity. The tash just comes wet. He's just looking like a frigging paedophile.
How's your training been during COVID? Are you back to normal now or are you?
Mate, it didn't stop. I just fucking kept going. There's no point, man. It's fucking piss. It's not fake news, but it wouldn't affect me. Yeah. I've got a small group of training partners and we just kept, well, obviously at the very start when everything was kicking off, I was a bit scared to go to training, but as the weeks and the months started to progress, I just got back to normally. I had to.
Yeah. I guess when the call comes, you've got to be in shape.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I can't be like messing about and getting fat when everybody will be training. So.
Not like you, Chris.
Have you been
saying much?
What's that?
I was saying that the other Chris has been getting fat.
Right,
COVID done me. For me.
COVID done me dirty. I was like, I'll have a few beers a night, I'll have another couple of beers a night, and the next thing I was like, frigging hell, 10 pounds later, I was like, what's happened?
Aye, definitely. Aye, it happens, man. You just need to get back into it when it all kicks off again.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, how tough is your weight cut when it comes to it? What do you walk around at normally? Or do you not want to share that with us?
No, I don't really matter, man. It's pretty simple. Like, between 84 and 83 out of camp, and then 6 to 8 weeks of dieting will get me down to about 75-ish, give or take a kilo or whatever, and then just cut the rest. It is an advantage to be slightly heavier, but only for certain opponents, eh? So, like, it's one of those things, eh? It's that big misconception of whether it's beneficial or it's a hindrance. So, I just try and hit it halfway between, and I've never ever felt fucked after weighing, so
No, that's good.
Keep it like that, eh? So
you always seem really, really active, even when you're not in a fight camp. You know, like looking at your social media, you're very, very active on social media as well. Is that something you try to do consciously? Like keep posting, just try to kind of keep content out there.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Because people always ask me questions and always ask me what's going on. So I try and kind of. It'll always be good to look back on as well, almost like a diary as such, you know, to track progress. But everybody's like, oh, you're so lean all the time. Like, can I get your diet? And I'm like, listen, mate, it's not to do with my diet. It's to do with my lifestyle. It is a lifestyle thing, eh? Like, I very rarely eat bad. Like, I do, it's like, you can that old 80-20 rule, you know, all that sort of carry on, you know. Even throughout fight camp and stuff like that, probably right up to about 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out, I'll have Freddos and fucking wee small bits of chocolate just to tie me over. You know, like,
I've not had the Freddos in about 5 years.
I know, mate, they're deadly, they're a game changer. Like,
£1.20 now.
No, they're like the 25p, I was fucking shocked. So, the wee wife in the coffee shop, when I go in the morning and that, she's like, I'll buy a Freddo, or in the afternoon or whatever, I'll buy a Freddo and a coffee. And she's like, why do you buy one of the Freddos? Why don't you just get a bar of chocolate? I was like, I've not got the willpower just to eat one bit of the chocolate. So what?
Oh, nothing. Have you heard anything about from Bellator about when your next fight could be? Because they're signing a lot of the Scottish boys. I know they've got you, Ross Houston. Soaring back, missed a lot of the good talent. I think the UFC did, and Bellator have scooped it up. So
yeah. Well, you know I think they said September, October, but that's like they said they hope. So they're not trying to I think they're just trying to keep their cards close to their chest because I think the government could kind of fuck them over if they say this is going to be the date that we're going to do. So. I think they're doing a smart move by keeping it close to their chest, but I do think the UFC missed a trick with the UK because there is a few guys. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy where I am now, you know, and Bellator will treat me well, and I just need to get my name up there now and being able to call the shots a bit more rather than just like. Turn up, you know, I'm the guy that's going to have to turn up. But now I want to be the guy that says, right, I want to fight on this day. Because that gives me time to train, structure it in, have time with my girlfriend, all that sort of stuff. So at the moment, I'm still kind of pissing out the wind a wee bit with the contracts and stuff like that. I'm just needing to take it when it comes. So I'm just looking forward to getting fighting again, man, and just absolutely blitzing somebody.
Yeah, mate, your last performance won't do you any harm if that's what you're looking for. You were just watching back and the boy just looked out of place. I think that was you rather than him.
Yeah, well, he's a good opponent, you know, but I put my heart, as I said, you know, I put my heart and soul into this fight and this. I've got no choice now, like, I've fucked everything else off. Fucked off a good job, I fucked off this, I fucked off that. So I've got no choice to be good at MMA now. So fucking fingers crossed I don't lose my legs or something. Or
what did you do before, previously? Have you full time at MMA now?
No, not quite, man. COVID fucked that.
Bastard.
Yeah, so I want to keep some clients. I've got some good clients that I want to, they're very easy to PT. And mainly for those sort of people, they're not really in it for, like, I want this quick fix. They're in it for the long term because it actually helps them more with the mental side of their life. You know, they like the routine. They come in, like, don't get me wrong, they do want to lose weight as well, but it's good for their mental health and stuff like that because a lot of my clients, I've been doing them outside recently, and a lot of them have suffered a lot with mental health over COVID and that. Not in the sense that they're depressed or that, but in a sense that they have kids and they're not getting a break and they're not getting out. They're not getting the time to themselves. So it's been good in a sense like that they can get out the house and the kids can just either sit in the car or sit outside and just play while I do my clients. Yeah, so it's worked really well.
No, that's good that you've got other things, man, not just MMA, as you say.
Yeah,
but
well, I've been
one day. Yeah. So you train at a higher level with James Doolan?
No. No, I train out of Evo Gym.
Right, okay.
And, Adam Stevenson, and my coach's name is.
Oh, nice.
I kind of train everywhere. Adam's my main coach. He's my MMA coach. But he's got a really open mind about training. He understands that there's only so much you can learn from certain people. And it's good to have good fundamentals, but it's always good to train with other people and learn, because it keeps everything fresh. Because I don't know about you guys, but the main people say when they're in a diet or whatever is they say they hate the same shit all the time. And you do. You get bored of training. Like, you can get very bored. So it's good to take up new activities and different skill sets and stuff like that. So, in fact, me and my coach tomorrow are going to go through Newcastle, and we're going to do some sparring in Newcastle. So it's good. It's good to get away in that and spend some like quality time with my coach as well outside of the gym. Yeah. And get some sparring done, and he'll coach me from the side of the mat, and it gives you that feeling, you know. I don't know if you've fight a lot or you've been in a fight at school, and you get that kind of feeling in your chest. It's like anxiety almost. Like, it's good to get that before you go into a gym, because it almost simulates the fight. Going into a foreign place and a foreign gym, you don't know what's going to happen, you know, if they're going to try and beat you up or whatever, you know. So it's good for the mental aspect of even just MMA. So yeah, and there's all these different shapes of people, you know, big strong guys, big wiry guys, you know. So it's good to get an outlook and train with these different people and understand what certain people are good at. But yeah,
a lot of people when they go and they spar with other guys, they kind of tend to keep that quiet, you know. It's not very often until you kind of hear these, like, the big names, they come out and they be like, oh, I smashed this guy at sparring and all the rest of it. It's kind of almost, sparring's like practice. You're there to help each other, is it kind of
thing. Definitely, man. I've sparred with a lot of people in the past, and you don't say what goes on in sparring. That's an absolute dick move.
Yeah.
So, they're there, and you're there to help them. So if they start talking about it and all that, I've had people talk, like, come at the gym and that, and say, for instance, they've subbed me or whatever, and they're out fucking drinking and that, like, oh, well, I used to just sub this Chris all the time. I'm like,
it happened once, mate, and I was tired. I'd probably been Shark Tank for a whole round before it.
Aye. You know what, and then the people that say that sort of stuff, you know, it's good for them to have something, you know, make them be there, eh? But it's not all
talking about you.
I've been tapped 1,000 times in the gym, and I've made mistakes in the gym, but the main one when it counts is when you're under that limelight. So I enjoy training, I enjoy the process, I enjoy, like, I wrestle with Robert 3 times a week, and there is not an easy round there, man. It's fucking brutal. It's like grappling's his thing. And I'm just in there fucking surviving almost. Don't get me wrong, I get my good days and I get my bad days, but putting in those hours, I'm going to get that little bit better every single time I wrestle with him. And he always tells me a wee bit of tips and tricks and that throughout the day. And see, if I think back to the first time I wrestled with him, it's like I'm like a different fighter again, eh? Even
just mentally. What age were you when you first started wrestling? Because I know, like, in America, they're wrestling from like fucking 5 years old, but in Scotland, wrestling's
I was like 21. So I remember Robert Whiteford had messaged me, and he says, I was actually a shepherd at the time. I was working as a farmer at the time, and I was just doing that transition into the gym. And I was like, right. He texts me and he says, Chris, do you want to do some boxing sparring? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I just fucking sacked off work. I probably shouldn't have, but I just sacked it off. Just kidding around, I was no well. Went into the gym, and me being like, in fact, it was before that. It was 2014, actually. It was my second ever fight I had. And obviously, he was in the UFC at the time. So I'm walking in there thinking I'm the man in that. And then fucking cracked me with a right hand, and he broke my nose. And he's still bent from it. And then probably about a week later, I text him. I said, come on, can we get back wrestling? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then it was like maybe once a week for a couple of weeks. Then it was twice a week. Then it was three times a week. So I put in that effort at the start, and I got absolutely hounded. Like, but I just didn't let him get away. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want him to think, oh, he's been cracked, and then he'll know what to come back.
Yeah.
I said to my coach, I was like, I said, what's Robert's grappling like? He's like, that's his thing, man. Like, he's really good at it. And I was like, I'll be able to hold my own, eh? And he's like, I don't know. Like, he's pretty good. Well, fuck me. I went in there for 40 minutes and I got absolutely raped. It was brutal. So, that was a really big eye-opener for me. It was like, he was the kind of first guy that showed me there is total levels to this game. It's like, there's there and then there's there, you know? It's like, that's what I mean by about this, like my coach saying that there's always something you can improve on. So when I was first starting out, my coach taught me all these very essential fundamentals. And now, the end of my career, well, not the end of my career, but the start of my pro career, I can start putting all these finishing touches on and start to see what works for me and what doesn't. So everybody's got their place in my camp, you know, like my wee pal Scotty and my wee pal Adam Batley, they've both got their own place in my fight camp. Mm-hmm. They're only amateur, but yeah, they know my game inside and out. And that's what I really appreciate about my team and stuff like that as well, you know.
There's no point in being the biggest fish in your pond type thing. If you're bringing in people and it's like Usain Bolt type thing, it's like he's like nobody's got to beat him. But if you're racing against Usain Bolt, your eyes are on the prize, you know, you're constantly watching, constantly practicing against a better wrestler. If you're constantly striking against a better striker, it's got to raise your levels up as it always does. So it's awesome to hear that.
My girlfriend said a good comment a wee while ago. It was, if you're the smartest man in the room, you're in the wrong room. So, you're in the wrong room. So,
I've been fucking made chance of that.
Not me, I'm no smart.
It'd
be good if Bellator came to Scotland. We went to Bellator in London last year. When Gegard Mousasi got beat.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
That was a good card.
Man, it'll be good if they come to Scotland, eh? I was just listening to my walkout tune. It came up on my Facebook there, and I was like, oh, yeah, fucker. He got me a good one. Highland Cathedral. So I was listening to it with my girlfriend. But it's like that Mad Orchestra one that was brilliant. Just gets me right in the mood for it. Like.
Yeah, no, that's good. But saying that, I was at UFC in Scotland, and every Scot lost on the card apart from Darry Henry. So I don't know if
I know. That's brutal, eh? I was there too, but, you know, it's that's just one of the things, man. It's the UFC and Bellator, they're at the very, very top, eh? So I'm just super happy to be signed with a big company and be able to concentrate on that.
You hear a lot of fighters now, obviously. I was curious to find out how you felt about it. People, they would rather be known as a UFC fighter than be a MMA fighter making a shit ton of money. Like, a lot of people would sacrifice making a lot more money just to have that we print on the t-shirt, you know, that I'm a UFC fighter. I just think it's absolutely insane.
I just think that, man, like the UFC kicked it off, and I think they will always be the pinnacle. Like, I just think they've been around a lot longer. They've got more money, you know. I think that's just the way it will be. And like, there's not to say that you can't make more money in other promotions like ONE or Bellator. It just so happens, it's like the first one. It's just one of the things.
Look at Corey Anderson just signed for Bellator. Yeah. Top probably three like heavyweights would be cash, man. Paddy Pimlich, like the UFC have tried to send him loads of times, and he's like, nah, I'm making loads here at Cage Warriors, so I'm not signing for the UFC. You're giving me 10 and 10.
Is he making quite a lot of Cage Warriors?
Yeah, I think so. He's like the face of it, eh? So he's not going to take a 10 and win 10 and the show 10 at the UFC when he's making good money at Cage Warriors. So,
yeah,
as you say.
But at the end of the day, man, like, you are fighting for a job. So, like, you can see why that money would keep you there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, you wouldn't, if like you had like two cars at the front and you're like, there's a nice one, there's a shit one, what one would you go for? You know, it's, money's a wicked thing, eh? Like, a lot of people go for the most expensive or the swankier version, you know? But it's just one of those things, man. Because I've got my manager now, I'm just going to let him deal with that. So, I'm going to make a business decision rather than like decision like that, you know?
Yeah, but, personal,
that's
to say.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, take the personal aspect out of it, you know? There's got to be a lot of increments to that that fit in with it, because, you know, you got to remember, like, Bellator don't give out a win bonus, like a knockout bonus. So, and the way I fight,
you know, you're headhunting, mate. You're wanting the bonuses.
Some guy's going out in a stretcher, I can tell you that right now. So, it's either me or it's him.
So hopefully, always him. Obviously, me and Corey, obviously, we like going to the gym. We do a lot of running, things like that. That helps us get away from work. What's the type of thing that you're interested in outside fighting or training? Because when you go on YouTube, obviously you've got a set training program. You must train, you train and all the rest of it. But then how does that affect, like, when you go home at night? Is it just, I'm absolutely shattered, I'm ready just to sit and gouge you in front of the TV? Is it just one of these ones? It's just
like, I fucking put everything into this, eh? There is not a day goes by. I wake up in the morning and it's the first thing that comes into my mind. And then it's the fucking last thing that goes into my mind before I go to bed at night. It's a weird obsession. It's like an addiction. That's why I got the tattoo in my chest. Beautiful addiction. It's just like something so like obsessive, eh? It's just, I think it's in my nature. I think it's in my blood. A lot of my family members are quite addictive, if you get what I mean. It's just like, it's just that I couldn't even explain to you why I like it so much. Like I hate it, but I love it. Do you get what I mean? It's, it puts stress in my relationship throughout when I'm like dieting, not in a way that's like ending that, but it's just like my girlfriend's sitting with me and she's like, "You okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." But I'm just sitting there like
a grumpy bastard.
You try and no feed my missus and watch what happens. She'll fly across that table at me. If I've not got her tea ready for her coming in for her work tonight, she'll be stabbing. Hangry is a real thing, mate. Hangry is a real thing.
Oh, it definitely is, man. So, yeah, just I live and breathe it, man. It's just, I couldn't even tell you what sort of hobby. I like being fit and being active. I enjoy it, because when you're doing something like, so last night I did some open water swimming. Like, I'm not a swimmer. I just went and done it because I actually enjoy like keeping fit. And see, when you're in that moment, you're in the gym, unless you're stressing out and like, I'm thinking nothing but the workout. Like, when I was swimming out there yesterday, I wasn't thinking about what bills I have to pay or what's happening tomorrow with clients or what's COVID up to. I was in the middle of the water, fucking flies swimming about my face and geese flapping over my head. It's just like, not a care in the world. So I think that's good for me because it allows me to switch off, because my brain goes 100 mile an hour. I've got like butterfly brain.
You're spot on, mate. I do a lot of Munros because I work in sales, like technology sales, and it's fucking stressful. So when I'm walking in Munros, I can't think about anything else except for one step ahead. So it's like, strikes out my mind. So you're totally right on that point.
Yeah. Well, you'll be sitting in front of a TV screen, are you? Well, not a TV screen, but like a computer screen. So mentally you'll be fatigued, but then physically you might not be fatigued. So it's good to get out and just walk the hills and get into stuff. You know, it's just, and then as you say, like, you're walking and you're not giving a fuck. Like, you're walking up the hill and like, who cares if you're no selling behind at that point? It's just get on with it.
Nah, it sounds like you've got a bit of a recipe for success, mate. You've got everything dialed in. Sounds like you've got a good missus in that. I noticed you post a lot of
my
hair and all the rest of it. So.
I'm going to leave this pub, man, do that. Any points tonight, boys?
Are you engaged?
No,
I'm bringing you right back then. I'll build you up there, but I'll bring you right back then.
I reckon it would have happened if COVID didn't happen, like, but we'll see. We'll see.
I love that guy.
Or that solar eclipse or that moon in the sky.
I'm fucked anyway, she's sitting right there.
where are you actually from? Is it Stirling?
I live in Stirling just now, but I'm originally from Glasgow and I lived in the Highlands for a wee bit in a place called Strathire.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that. I'm trying to think of a Monroe up that way that you would maybe know. But not far away from Tynedrum, maybe 40 minutes from Tynedrum.
Ah, cool. Green Valley Shop.
Yeah, the Green Valley Shop. So I used to work up that way. Do you know where Ben Lawrence and stuff like that is?
I used to work in Clun,
so I was up that neck of the woods. I was a shepherd up there. I used to shear sheep and gather sheep in off the hill, all that sort of shit. So,
mate, that must be the most transformational from a shepherd to a cage fighter.
I know. So, that was one of the biggest things. I always liked fighting, and I was always involved in fighting. So, when I was at my old job, you know, I put a lot into fighting, and I didn't really put a lot into my work. I did. I was good at my work, but it was never my sole focus, and I could see it happening, and I just decided, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to go for this fighting. I didn't just go one day like, ah, fuck it, let's just go for this. I definitely strategically in my head went, right, I'll make a wee shot of this and see what's happening, and we're making a living out of it, so happy days.
Awesome, man.
You can probably tell where we're from with the kind of chooked accents. We're both from Glenrothes.
Glenrothes,
Kirkcaldy. So we've trained a few times at Stevie's gym.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool. So. Nice. I've trained with Stevie a few times. He's a nice lad, Stevie.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. He won.
How's his gym? Is it quite nice?
Big. He just upgraded it from kind of small place inside a gym to his own place, which was really cool. That was good.
Oh, brilliant.
It was a good fight against Michael Johnson. I didn't think he'd won it, but we put, I don't know, 100 quid or something in it when we were in Ireland, and we actually won it, and I was like, fuck aye.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah. I think that takedown at the end definitely scored him at A. They got a 10-8 round, and they got that body triangle and punched fuck out of me. So that's a hard fight, man. That Michael Johnson's dangerous, eh? He's super fast, athletic.
You seen him
when he fought Khabib, he started poking him with that big, big left hand of his, and Khabib was a bit shook with that. And until he got into the deck, it was all Michael Johnson until the deck, isn't it?
Have you got your eyes set on anybody in Bellator for your next fight, or are you just going to take the give?
Well, I've got a name, but I can't tell you. So
it's all right.
I write it on the back of my hand next time, and I can do that. I've got a name, but no date at the moment. So just a verbal agreement, like just say, would you fight this guy? And I was like, of course I would. So looking forward to doing that and going and showing everybody. You know, I'm almost guaranteed he's going to try and take me down once again. You know, so we'll see. I'll maybe go down once or twice, but I'll get back up and
punch his face off.
Exactly.
Derek Lewis style.
Both times I fought in Bellator, I came back with fucking really sore hands, so I must hit pretty hard, like.
Why did you have a fight in between Bellator? I saw you had a Bellator, then a fight somewhere else, then back to Bellator. That just to keep you busy.
I took my first fight in Bellator on a short notice thing, so I wasn't actually contracted in. So it was a one-fight deal. And then they said, after that, we'll sign you, and then they never did because their budget, they had a budget for that year and I didn't fit their budget, so I then got a fight booked for Japan, that got cancelled. No, I got a fight booked in August, and then I had a fight booked in Japan, and I went to American Top Team and trained over there, came back, didn't get the fight because he pulled out because he shat it, and then when did I get, and then I got February. I was meant to fight Ryan Roddy, then he shat it, and then I got Mateus. So, yeah, just pretend to get that, man. I'm pretty sure, like, I looked at the guys I'm fighting, and he's had a lot of pullouts. So, be one of those ones, you know. I might have to take somebody else at the time, but fuck it, I'll just. Yeah.
You seem like a man who's kind of any time, any place. Kind of
I'll fight anybody at any time, and it's my manager and my coaches. I'm 27, and I've not been doing this for very long. There's a lot of room for improvement. Like, I'm not complete yet. Like, I'm not the top guy, and I know that. But there's so much room for improvement. And every year, and you speak to all my training partners and people that I've trained with in the past that maybe beat me up in a sense, or they held their own. I'm just taking off now, man. It's just, I'm just putting in the graph, because I feel
awesome.
When I'm on, and there's not very many people that can keep up with me just now. So I'm just on that path, and exactly. And I just need to get over a couple more times to American Top Team and just feel, not literally go in and feel them, like, but feel the level and feel the competition over there, because they boys are just as motivated as I am. The sky's the limit, you know, and I do feel, my coach kind of explained it, like, you don't see yourself getting better like this. It's just like beep, 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 and then all of a sudden you just like, fucking hell, oh shit, now I'm really good, you know. And everything seems to be piecing together really well, and I'm finding a style, and I'm finding what's working, and my fight IQ is getting better, you know. I'm always understanding and understanding that I can't take many shots to the head, because the longevity of my career, and it's just, I'm learning from everybody, and I'm taking in all their knowledge that they can pass on to me, and just using it for myself, eh?
Awesome, mate.
I guess training like with guys like Darren Till won't harm you. That must have been pretty fun. He seems like a fun fucker.
Super, super nice guy, man. It was fucking, I walked in and I was like, oh, there's Darren Till. And then he's like, fuck me. He's like, all right, man, what's happening? And I was like, not much, mate, yourself. And he's just chatting away. I was like, oh, all right. just a normal guy. Exactly, mate, exactly. And he's just on the same route as I am at the moment. He's just obviously a bit higher up than me, and fighting in the UFC and doing this and doing that and making a shit ton of cash. But, man, he's just like, just walking down the road and speaking to a random. He's just down to earth, loves his training. Just really nice guy, and he actually helped me with a few techniques at the end. Just showed me a few things, and it's amazing, you know. Like with MMA, with football, you can't just turn up to the Rangers team and just train with Rangers. But anywhere in the MMA community, you can just turn up to the gym and train with your favorite fighter. It's mad, like what a sport that is, you know, that you can just turn up to a gym and meet your favorite fighter or meet somebody you look up to. It's a really good sport.
No, it seems it. And you seem to be doing well, man. So we'll let you go, but I really appreciate your time, Chris. That was awesome, man.
No problem, mate. Sorry, I fucked up the times.
It's all good, man. It was worth it to have the chat.
Definitely, man. It'd be good. And anytime you want another wee interview or a podcast or whatever, just give us a wee shout, mate. It takes 40 minutes out of my time and get a chat with you fellas. And if yous are at the fight next time, I'll get a catch up with yous, all right?
That'd be amazing, mate.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Perfect, guys. Thank you, mate. Speak to
you soon. Next time, mate.
Take care, Chris. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I hope you really enjoyed the interview with Chris. He was upfront, honest, and you can just tell he loves what he does, which is cool. So, what do you think, Chris?
Nah, I thought he seems like a real Scottish gangster. There's a name for him, the real Scottish gangster. He just any man, any place, anywhere.
Let's go. I think his career, as he said, is on the trajectory. He's on the way up, which is cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing what his next moves are.
Really humble. He was like really humble, really like down to earth, really honest, and yeah, I thought he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We made a mistake, though. We never asked him. He's picked for the DC Stipe fight. I would have been interested to see what you thought.
Who do you think is the favourite? I know. Who do you think is the favourite?
I think the favourite would be Stipe, but I think DC's got to win.
DC's a slight favourite.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to agree with them on this one. I think DC won the first fight. He was winning the second fight, I would say, and then I think he kind of gassed a wee bit. Stipe made adjustments. I think DC's going to win this one. Don't think it's going to be an early knockout. I think it's maybe either going to be a fourth, fifth round knockout or DC by decision. I don't think he'll get caught the way he was before. I think he...
The body shots.
I think the first fight, he just got so much confidence. He steamrolled everyone at heavyweight. At heavyweight, he only ever lost one round in 10 fights. And then he fought Stipe, knocked him out within the first, like the greatest UFC heavyweight champion, knocked him out within in the first round? Or was it second round?
Stipe, first, yeah. Hey, do you know what?
I don't think he had respect for him. I think he was just, and then he was getting tagged, and I just think he was like, well, I can take these punches. Yep, you could maybe take 5, then it got to 6, then it got to 13, and it was all over. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't realise, he was actually drafted in and strike force into the Grand Prix as like an alternate, just because they couldn't find somebody else. He ended up winning that, and now he's like, now he could go down as the best pound for pound ever, I guess. Because the John Jones shit, man, he was cheating. So I take the wins away from him. I think John Jones still would have won, but
you can't take the John Jones wins away from him. Like, John Jones could have beat him at 13. John Jones fights DC 100 times, and John Jones wins 99 times.
I agree, but you have to take John Jones out of the equation, I guess, if he's cheating, he's not playing by the rules. Like, I don't know. I guess we're splitting that. The rules are there too.
I know the rules are there, but it's like he got done for coke one of the times, was it not? And I don't know.
He was definitely on the roids.
Regardless, it's.
I still think he would have beat him. No, I agree. I'm just a bit scared for DC. I think it's going to end in tears for him. And I think I just picture it in my head, man. Him crying at the end, having lost it in the final moment. I used to hate him. We both didn't like him.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan, but I think ever since I'm becoming more involved with the UFC, doing the commentary and things like that, you get to get a bit of the personality.
Are you the new play-by-play guy, is that?
Mate, got the mic and everything. Whoop, whoop.
His wife's 7.5 months pregnant as well, so he must be quite like... That must play in your mind, weighing it quite heavily. But he's an experienced guy. He's an experienced guy, so he's not going to...
I think I really, really want him to win, which, and because I've said it on here, probably means he's got to lose. Anybody that I really get behind and really root for always seems to like go against. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Stipe, but there's really some good people. I'm gonna go with Stipe. Yeah, I just think I don't know. I just think Stipe's gonna be too good. I mean, they're pretty. I know DC's a better wrestler, but Stipe's a good wrestler on his own right.
Yeah, Stipe's.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. Will they stand and bang, or will they go to ground? I don't know. But I was just looking at DC's track record, mate. He's beat Anderson Silva. He's beat Gustafsson, who arguably could be one of the best light heavyweights of all time as well. He's beat fucking Anthony Johnson. But look at the size difference between these guys.
This was all a light heavyweight as well. So Anthony is definitely a better fighter at heavyweight. The thing that worries me a bit is I was listening to an interview with Javier Mendez, and Javier Mendez basically turned around and says, the problem with DC is you don't even want DC, you're going to get on the night. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he listens to game plans, sometimes he doesn't. And because he's one doing both, it almost encourages him, like, I can't just do it the way I want it there when it comes to the fight, which must be one of the most frustrating things as a coach, because you spend that 16 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is, doing a fight camp and basically bringing this all together, and I'm not listening to it on the night of the fight. It must be, he must have been putting his hair out.
That's maybe why they've drafted in Mark Hendry.
Yeah.
As a coach as well, just to add to the kind of vast knowledge and expertise he's got to work with. So I think that was something you brought up.
Sure.
We'll end on one last question. Will this be DC's last fight?
Yes, 100%.
I think so too. He's actually, see the new UFC game. He can comment. He's one of the commentators, but he's also one of the fighters. So on UFC Embedded, he's playing as him, and obviously not to Stipe, and he's actually commentating on the game as well. So it shows you, like, he's well in with Dana. He's very much a company man as well. Yeah. He sucks up Dana's ass a little bit, which...
Hey, if that's what's getting paid, bash on.
Totally. But no, I'm awesome. looking forward to the fights, man. And it was a good conversation with Chris. I enjoyed it. Hopefully, we can get some other MMA guys on the show, because I hope that was kind of something a bit different.
Obviously, he's got a fight announcement coming up, so hopefully, we maybe can get one fight week. Maybe we interview something like that. So yeah, it'll be interesting. But yeah, really nice guy. Glad we spoke to him actually.
Yeah. So just to go through our picks, I've picked Stipe, Sean O'Malley, Junior Dos Santos, and Mirab. And I don't know what's happened with this Magomed Ankalaev fight. It just seems to have disappeared off the fucking radar.
I think we're agreeing on everything except for the last one, isn't it?
We are. If you took Cormier, yeah, we're agreeing.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Cool, we'll watch for the weekend and find out, and then we'll do a bit of a recap maybe Sunday.
Yep.
Now we've got this whole virtual thing.
Awesome,
we're just getting around to virtual working about fucking 6 months into COVID, learning technology. But cool, man. Appreciate the awesome. Time. Take it easy. Speak soon.
Have a good night, mate. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening, guys. Speak soon. How do you know, man?